Got that thing rolling up there? There we go. Okay, good. Tonight is entitled A Tale of Two Parables. We're going to look at a parable, and it's going to remind us of another parable. That's because we already read the other parable. Now we're reading the second parable, and it reminds us of the first parable. So we have two parables. We'll go through tonight's parable, take a look at the meanings of it, and then we'll kind of go back and look at that first parable again and compare them, because I think there are some comparisons to be made. Tonight we're going to be in Matthew 25, verse 14. Jesus is still teaching in response to that question by his disciples, tell us when will these things be and what will be the signs of the coming of the end of the age. So Jesus has been sharing with them a number of different things. Tonight we come to a parable about some servants who receive some things that they are to use while their master is gone. You see the application already. Jesus is preparing to go. He's going to leave them, but they're to occupy till he comes. Now, in tonight's parable, well, let's just go into it and read it. We're in Matthew 25, verse 14, and Jesus has this to say, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." Now, of course, the man who's going on a journey is who? Jesus. He's going to the cross, then returning to his Father. Then there will be an interval of time until he comes again. So he goes to a far country, but before he does, he calls his servants to him and he delivers things into their hands, 5 to 1, 2 to another, 1 to another, each according to his own ability. And of course, the servants are us. Believers, disciples, followers, people who are waiting for his return. It says, "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Good guy. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. Good job again. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, 10 total, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them.' So he turns in 10 to his master. His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Now he also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them.' Turns in a total of 4. His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground, buried it, and dug it up. Now, look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Let's deal with the tricky part of this first. Then we'll move on to the easier parts. A man decides to go to a far country. He calls his servants to him. He delivers to them according to their abilities. He looks and sees one is capable of handling 5. He gives him 5. Another is capable of 2. He gives him 2. One is capable of only handling 1. He gives him 1. He leaves them and returns, and they come and they show him what they've done with the talents. Now, let's deal with the hard one first, the servant who did nothing. When the Lord came and asked them all to account, The servant who had received one talent said, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Now, parables are always made to make a point. And once the point is made, the parable is finished. So you don't have to carry a parable too far and make everything in it work. It exists to make a point. Some people like to look at this last servant and they say, it sounds like he wasn't saved. Now, we can't really tell. And I'm not sure that we're supposed to tell because that's not the point of the parable. But one servant receives a talent. The Lord looks at him and says, you can handle about one, so I'm going to give you one. He takes it, digs a hole in the ground, stuffs it in the hole and buries it. Digs it up when his master returns and gives it back to him. He says, I knew you were a hard man. Now, it certainly sounds like he doesn't really know the Lord, does it? How many of you would say tonight that the Lord is a hard man? God, you're just hard, man. You're tough. That doesn't sound very much like the Lord I know. He says, I knew that you reap where you haven't sowed, gathered where you haven't seed, scattered seed. Therefore, I took it and I buried it, and here's what you own. And he just sends it back to him. So some people look at that and they say, this is possibly one of those people who appears to have a relationship but doesn't really understand who God is, receives something from the Lord, maybe the word, maybe an invitation, and just buries it and does nothing with it. I don't want to make too much of that because, again, I think the parable exists to make a point. I think once the point is made, the parable's point is over. I don't think you have to go too far with this. The point, I think, lies in the first two servants. One servant receives five and says, Lord, I took your five, made another five, here's ten. And the Lord welcomes him and says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now that's what I want to hear. That's what I'm all. Another, the Lord looks at him and says, I gave you two. And he says, Lord, here's your two, plus two more. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Let's look at this for just a minute, see what's going on. In this parable, there are three servants. They each receive talents according to their ability. They work with those talents and make more and turn them in. What do you suppose? Top of your head, let's just toss out some guesses here and see what we come up with. What do the talents represent? A literal meaning is money. A talent is a measure of money. So this master gave to his servants measures of money, which they took and worked with, and then brought the master a return on his investment. Now, what kind of things suggest themselves to your mind that these talents might represent in our lives? Did God give you money? Witnessing, possibly. Let's toss that on the pile. Maybe witnessing. What else?
Your own ability that you could provide for others.
Abilities that you could provide for others. Let's toss that on the pile too.
Yes.
Gifts, like what kind of gift?
Talents that you have, your ability to present the word of God or share
or
play for others.
So kind of natural gifts? Natural gifts. Let's toss natural gifts on the pile. What else?
I wonder if it's everything. Our strong bodies, minds, everything that everybody has. We're all given a very wonderful set to start with. Some not so much if you're disabled or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's more than just something special we have. It's all that we have.
Hmm. So everything we have, everything we are, everything that God has given to us. Well, let's toss that on the pile too. Yeah, Virginia.
Our walk with the Lord.
Our walk with the Lord. Onto the pile it goes.
Sir.
Mary. What is it?
Praising Him.
Praise and worship. Sure, we'll toss that on too.
Serving Him.
Serving Him. Roz.
God's love.
Whole bunch of things it could be. They each receive, they each increase, and they each return to the Lord. And the Lord says to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I think this becomes maybe a little easier to see if we look at the other parable that we looked at previously that kind of goes hand in hand with this one. Let's turn in our Bibles over to Luke chapter 19. And let's look at another parable that's very similar, but when we look at it, we're going to see that it's really different. It's not the same parable. It's a different one that has some similarities. But when we compare them, we'll see some differences too. Luke 19, verse 11. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So far, sounds kind of familiar, right? Pay attention to this, watch this. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he'd given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. And another came, saying, master, here's your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. This sounds familiar too, doesn't it? For I feared you, because you are an austere or severe man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that on my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. Okay, two stories. They're not the same story. There are some differences. They sound very familiar when you look at them side by side. Let's examine them. In both stories, we have a man who travels to a far country. Now, we already know that the man represents who? The Lord Jesus, about to go to the cross, die, be buried, raised from the dead, and return to his Father. In the meantime, he calls his servants. And, of course, the servants are us. Here we are. In Matthew's story, they receive talents. Three servants are called. They receive talents, a measure of money. One receives 5 talents, one receives 2 talents, one receives 1 talent. They each receive according to their ability. The rewards that they receive are all the same. You've been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. One of the key things to notice is that the reward that the servants receive is not based on how much they return to the Lord. How much does the first servant return to his Lord? He receives 5 and he returns 5 more, so a total of 10. The second servant receives 2 and he returns a total of 4. One returns 10, one returns 4. They both receive the same reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So we have 3 servants. They each receive differently. They each bring return. They each receive the same reward. One of the key things to understand about this goes this way, and we haven't quite determined what these talents and abilities and things are yet, but we know this. The reward you receive is not based on how much you bring to the Lord. It's based on how faithful you were. And we all receive the same reward. You see, that means that in the context of this story, Billy Graham receives lots. There's lots that he's called to do. There's many that he's called to leave to the Lord. He brings a great return to the Lord. But here in this parable is the reward that Billy Graham returns, that he receives. Well done, Billy. You've been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, not all of us will have Billy Graham's opportunities, will we? Not all of us will be able to travel to other countries, hold great crusades, and invite thousands of people to come. You might actually, in your life, get to lead one person to the Lord. Just one. If that's you, then here's the reward you receive. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So in the context of this parable, each one receives differently according to their own ability. Each one returns differently, but they all receive the same reward. It's not based on how much they return. It's based on how faithful they were to work with what they received. Some will bring many, some will bring few. The reward is the same. Now let's look at Luke 19 and look at a few of the difference here. In Matthew, each servant received talents. That's a measure of money. In Luke, each one received minas. That's another measure of money. We understand it's not money, but it's something else, and we'll take a look at that now. In Matthew, there were three servants who called and received. In Luke, there were 10 servants who were called and received. Matthew's servants received according to their ability. One was able to handle five, he gets five. One's able to handle two, he gets two. Another one would be overwhelmed with anything except one, and God gives him one. But in Luke's story, each one receives the same thing, one mina. That's what they get. In Matthew's, they all bring in a return. In Luke's, they all bring in a return as well. One takes his original one mina, and he brings back 10. The next one takes his original one mina, brings back 5. Now, in this story, God's servants all received differently. In the first story, they all received... I'm getting myself... My wires crossed here. In Matthew's story, they all received differently. In Luke's story, they all received the same. So let's talk about this now and see what it is that we're looking at. In Matthew's story, they each received differently. Do you receive differently as a believer when you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Do you receive differently than the person next to you receives? Some say no, some say yes. How about this one for a verse? For the Spirit gifts each one individually as He wills. So maybe we do get some different things. Maybe when one person comes to the Lord looks at him and says, I perceive that the way you are structured and made, the way I've created you, you're capable of handling this many opportunities. You're capable of handling and using these gifts of the Spirit. And so He gives to that one differently than He gives to the one next to Him. Do you suppose God could work that way? I think He certainly could. And it's apparent that we do have different abilities. How many of you would like to stand in for Billy Graham or Franklin Graham the next time he can't make it to a crusade, and it's on you to give the invitation and bring thousands forward? How many of you would care to have that? There's a few out there that say, I want to go for it. Yeah. You know, when I first came to Taos, one of the thoughts crossed my mind was, Lord, this is such a small town. You must be preparing me for something bigger. And I came here and thought, I'll work here and I'll do what I can here. And one day God will give me bigger opportunities. Well, one day God gave me a bigger opportunity. I'm certain it was a test of sorts. It was a chance to go to another church, a much larger church, and take over and pastor there. After having been here and worked here and ministered among y'all, I can tell you this. I'm right where I belong. If God gave me more, I probably couldn't handle it. But you know what? I'm at a point in my life where I don't want more. If I want more, I want it here. I don't want to leave you guys and go somewhere else because I've made connections with you. I've shared with you. I've cried with you guys. I've encouraged you guys. I've laughed with you guys. And this is where I want to be. And I feel that God has me in exactly the right place. And I want to be here. Now, I want to see more things happen, but I want to see them happen in the context of Taos. I think God has given me what I can handle. I think anything smaller and I might feel kind of not well used. Anything bigger and I might be in over my ears. I think I'm where I'm supposed to be. And I love being here. This is great. And he's given me some things to do. And I can't do everything in the church. That's why you're here, because you do the things that I can't do. And you wouldn't want to have me bake a cake for you. Surely you do a fine job at that. And I'm sure the rest of you can bake good cakes too. You wouldn't want my cake. But God hasn't called me to a cake baking ministry. If he does, well, I reckon something will happen. He'll give me the gift to bake cakes. But you see what I mean? In the context of Matthew's parable, each one is gifted individually. And in the church, you receive some things that are different than things that I receive. We're all parts of the body. We all have functions to perform. And if we all perform our functions, gifted as we were by God, then the body is it's healthy and well and whole. It can do all the things it's called to do. So you see how the first parable works. Each one receives differently because each one is made differently. I'm different than you are. I don't get your gifts because I'm not called the way you're called. The reward for using our gifts will be the same. It doesn't matter if you lead thousands to the Lord or if you lead one to the Lord. What matters is that you be faithful to use the gifts that were given to you. If you're faithful in using what was given to you, here's what you'll hear. Well done, Al Duran. You've been faithful in a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. All that for simply being faithful to use the few gifts that we've been given. Now in the story over in Luke, it's a little different. 10 servants are called. They each receive the same thing, one mina. And is there a sense in which the church, every member of it, all receives the same thing? How would that work? What would that thing be that we receive that's the same as the person next to us? We receive our salvation, of course. Everyone who knows the Lord has received salvation. So in that sense, we receive the same gift. What else do you receive? God's love. God's Word, God's Spirit. So these are things we all hold in common. Now we can take those things and we can do different things with them. Depending on opportunities we're given. Depending on things that present themselves to us. The servants in the parable in Luke all received the same, and yet they were able to return different things. One returns 10 minas for one. One returns 5 minas for one. And again, it's not how much they returned, it's how faithful they were. See, I like that about God. Wouldn't that be something if you got to heaven and Billy Graham standing up there at the head of the line and they welcome him in? Billy, waiting to see you, man. Come on in. We got a great place for you because you led so many to the Lord. Come over here. Have a seat. Have a really nice seat. Barca Lounger. Place for your drink and a little massage thing in it. And then I get there and I led, you know, a few to the Lord. And the Lord says, all right, come on in. Got an old wooden rocker for you, no pad, no drink, but come on in. Wouldn't that be a bummer? Well, you got there, you did the best you could, you know? You get the old wooden rocker with no pad. It's not the way it works. You see, when God rewards us, he doesn't reward us based on how much we bring in. He rewards us based on how faithful we were with what he gave us. And if we're faithful to use it, if we're capable of bringing in 5 for the Lord or 4 for the Lord or 1 for the Lord, and we do it, if we're just faithful, then even though somebody brought in more than us, we hear the same thing they heard. So Chuck Smith gets to heaven. Billy Graham gets to heaven. Dwight Moody gets to heaven. Charles Spurgeon gets to heaven. I get to heaven. And there I am standing in this illustrious company, and I hear God say the same thing to me that he says to them. Well done, guys. Good job. You were faithful in a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You see, I like how this works. God grades on the curve, I guess. And he looks at us and he says, I know what you're capable of. I'll give you what you can handle. Y'all get some of the same things. Y'all get some special things. You're all individual cases. I'm going to treat you that way. But I'm going to give you exactly what's right for you. And all you got to do is be faithful to use what I give you. And then you'll hear me say, well done. good job. But Lord, I only brought one. Good job. I knew you could do it. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. Come on in. Barca loungers for everybody. Drink cups and holders for everybody. Little magic fingers massage in the back of the chair for everybody. Well, you don't really get a Barca lounger or anything. What you get is you get to rule. You see, all these people had one thing in common. They were all servants. Some servants all received the same. Some servants received differently according to their abilities. But when they came in, they were no longer servants. They were rulers. You've been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Isn't that cool? When the Lord comes and we return with Him, we're going to rule with Him. What are we going to rule? Well, there's going to be a whole world to rule. When the Lord returns, at the end of the tribulation, there will be many believers who've come to faith in Christ during that period we call the Great Tribulation. Now, those people are going to enter into the kingdom. But whereas we come with our glorified bodies, receiving our reward from Jesus, they enter into the kingdom in their natural bodies. They will live 1,000 years. In those natural bodies, the ones that we're wearing now. No disease, no illness. They'll just live a really good life. And then at the end, they're going to be transformed as well. But it's going to be a whole world of people living in their natural bodies, loving Jesus just like we do now, blowing it and making mistakes just like we do now. They'll need to be ruled over. Guess who rules over them when they come back? We do. And so the Lord says, you were faithful in the things I gave you to do. Because you were faithful, I'm going to make you rulers. I listened to my pastor one time say he wanted to be a ruler over Hawaii. He says, I want to go there because it's beautiful, it's green, it's lush. Hey, you know what? It's going to be that way everywhere. The whole world will make Hawaii look like a pit. The whole world is going to be beautiful. The deserts will blossom. Springs of water will come forth from the wastelands. And so God gives you Cleveland. Cleveland. So what? Cleveland's going to make Hawaii look sick. Cleveland's going to rock, man. God gives you Akron, Ohio. Oh, thank you, God. Akron, Ohio. It's going to be great. But we come back and we rule based on our faithfulness now. Again, it's not how much you return to the Lord. It's how faithful you were with what you were given. And that means there's hope for all of us. The Billy Grahams can bring hundreds of thousands in. The Mees can bring a couple in. And every time you use what God's given you, every time you minister to the body of Christ, you're being faithful in what you were given. Every time you find a believer who needs to be encouraged and you sit down, you pray with them, you put an arm around them, you're being faithful in what you were given. Every time you come to a brother who's overtaken in some trespass and some sin, and you come alongside gently, considering yourself lest you also fall, and you encourage them in the love and the ability of God to restore them, you're being faithful in what you were given. You teach a kid back in kids' church, faithful. You lead music on the worship team, faithful. You hand out bulletins at the door, faithful. You come and you just find one person that needs someone to come alongside him. Faithful. Whatever God's given you, no matter how big the ministry or how small, when you do it, you're faithful. And then God's servants will receive the same reward, the joy of the Lord. Every one of us will enter in. Everyone will see His face. Everyone will live with Him forever. And then God's servants receive differently. Different rule in eternity. So my pastor gets Hawaii and I get Detroit. Who cares? Detroit's going to rock, man. Detroit is going to be sweet. Detroit, the asphalt's gone. The auto companies are gone. I know there won't be any cars in the millennium because it says He'll wipe every tear from our eyes. And I can't tell you how many times I've shed tears over cars trying to get them to start and run, being stranded. No tears, no cars. We'll get around somehow. It'll be great. But we will all receive some of the same things. We will all receive some different things. The key is that all the servants become rulers in the kingdom. All because we're faithful. So time is short. What do we got left? 5 minutes? Year? 50 years? I don't know. But the Lord's coming. Every single prophecy that has needed to be fulfilled before the Lord could return has been fulfilled. It's as though the clock read 1 second to midnight, and it's just hanging there. And we're just waiting for the mechanism to grab, for the gears to turn. We're just waiting for that last tick. And that's it. Jesus is back. So what do we do in the meantime? Occupy until I come, said the Lord. You've received some things. The person sitting next to you has received. You've got God's Spirit inside of you. You've got His Word in your heart. Be faithful and use it. You've received some things the person next to you doesn't have. Some things that are just for you because God knows how you're made. You know, he was a carpenter. The word actually means craftsman in many materials. And I suppose that when they brought an animal to Jesus and said, Jesus, we need a yoke made for this critter, he'd check that critter out good. He wouldn't just say, got one on the shelf for you. One size fits all. There you go. That'll be $5. Thank you very much. I don't suppose it was like that at all. I suppose he took a look at that animal and he saw the way the bones were made. He saw the way the muscles attached to the bones and he saw the skin and the shape. He might have taken, I suppose he would do this because he was good with his hands. He might have laid his hands on the animal and felt the shape and felt the muscles. And he said, I can build a yoke for this critter that will fit it perfectly. And then when Jesus made that yoke and they put it on, see, that's the gifts that God has for you. They fit you perfectly. You got some things the person sitting next to you doesn't have. That's because you're made differently. And it's not how much you do, thank God. It's how faithful you are. Just take what you've got. Just take your salvation. Take God's word. Take the Spirit inside of you. Take every gift that you've been given. Take every opportunity, every door that the Lord opens for you. And say, Lord, I'm going to do this for you, to your glory. The results are in your hands. I'm going to leave it entirely to you. I'm just going to step out and serve you. Then, the sound of a trumpet. Suddenly, you feel kind of light in your sneakers, and you just lift off, and we go to be with him in the air, and we will be with him forever. And then we come back, and some of us get Hawaii, and some of us get Akron, some of us get Detroit. But you can't tell the difference because it's all sweet. And you get to rule over a group of people and lead them in the love of the Lord. You get to guide them and help them against the day when they're transformed just like we are. How cool is that? Father, tonight I just want to thank you for these two parables. If we only had one, we wouldn't have the complete story, but we've got both of them. And so we understand now that there are some things that we receive and we all get them. There are other ways in which we're different from each other. But the ways that we're the same are these, Father. You're not going to add up how much. You're going to ask how faithful. And we who are servants now will become rulers with you. And this is our chance to practice serving and ministering so that we're really good at it when Detroit looks like Hawaii. Father, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for how good you are. There are good things coming. And we're just waiting for that last tick of the clock for the gears to move one more time. Tick. The sound of a trumpet. 7 years of pure joy with you. And then we return to rule over a paradise with you. Father, thank you. All I want to hear are those words. Well done, Lear. Good job. Enter into the joy. Can't wait for it. So, Father, come soon, please. Bless us with your return and your presence on this earth. I can't wait to see you with my own eyes. to reach out and touch you, hold you in my arms. What a day that will be. Father, we thank you. We bless you tonight. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Not too quick. There's a few more to be saved. Let's get them all on. But once it's done, let's get out of here. And take us home to be with you forever. Thank you, God. We bless you now. In the best name we know, the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of mankind. In Him, we say, Amen.